I'm Jane Johnson, and you're listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. My guest today is Henrietta Nelson. Henrietta is a former city lawyer who left her career and retrained as a coach. She now helps women to bring their unique genius into the world and create a working life that excites, inspires, and energizes them. She felt law was a good fit for her analytical, curious mind at the time. She didn't have any other ideas as to what she might do. In fact, her grandfather had been a lawyer, and so it seemed like a solid and stable career where she could hone her skills and climb the corporate ladder. But her heart wasn't really in it. She says the reality was she didn't enjoy conflict and found much of the day-to-day work dry and uninspiring. And when she had her children, this was drawn into even sharper focus. Understandably, it took a number of years before she was able to make a clean break and turn her back on the law for good. We talk today about her journey and the five best things she's learnt along the way. Henrietta, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome you to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I was thinking back before we joined the call. I think we've known one another for around sort of 10, almost 12 months now. And you have a really interesting background because you left the legal profession, something which I think we'll go on to talk about, not especially unusual for a woman with children working in the city in law. But you've gone into career coaching. I mean, we're going to go on and talk about the top five pieces of career advice that you've either had or received. But I guess my first question is, at what point did you think this really isn't working, or I can't make this work, or we as a family can't make this work?
Well, thank you first for having me here on this podcast. It's a real pleasure to be with you. And it's always difficult looking back. My daughter's now 11, so looking back 11 years, I think deep down I knew that I wasn't going to carry on being a lawyer after children. I don't think I had that love of it enough to make the sacrifices that I knew were going to be necessary to make it work. I looked at the other working mothers and I saw what they were doing. I saw how they were juggling. I saw how difficult it was. I suppose I was waiting. I talk about this actually sometimes with clients. I wasn't bold enough to leave it before I had children, but I was waiting for the sort of involuntary stop that would come.
Really?
Yeah, which came in the form of having a baby to then force me to reconsider. Then I did have the baby, and then I kind of had this panic of, what do I do? Okay, if I'm not going to be a lawyer, what am I going to be? I knew I wanted a career. I knew that doing something outside of the home was really important for me for all sorts of reasons, but I really struggled with knowing what that might look like. So I actually kept on going back to the safety net of law. I got legal contracts over between having baby number one and baby number two. And then it was really a conversation with a friend who introduced me to this idea of coaching. And suddenly I kind of just, it really made sense because I realized that I'd always loved, at the time they referred to as the soft skills part of my job, which was when you had to either mentor younger associates or going to trainings. You know, I used to get so much out of those soft skill training sessions. And I remember finding it really perplexing when other colleagues would come out and say, "God, well, that was pretty boring." And I'd be like, "No, it was brilliant. It was fascinating. And I wanted more of that." And so when I sort of came across the idea of coaching, I was like, wow, I really didn't want to have to throw away everything that I'd learned through my 10 years or so as being a lawyer. This coaching seemed to be somehow that I could sort of leverage what I'd learned in the corporate side of life and through being a lawyer and also get more involved in the people side of life. Right. And I'd always been really fascinated about what made people tick, what motivates people. And so really being able to get under the skin of this just really fascinated me.
And I have to ask you, as someone who I did an arts degree and then just kind of fell into PR and communications, so I feel like I didn't have a vocation. Whereas someone, you know, whether you go into law or medicine or whatever it may be, where you have committed so much of your time to pursuing a particular career path, to then moving that to one side and starting something afresh. I mean, I guess that takes a lot of guts, a lot of resilience and a kind of personal drive. Was that something that came easily to you?
No, not at all. I would say it was very gradual. You know, I was training as a coach while doing legal contracts at the same time. I got my qualification. I it wasn't a neat stop one thing, start the other. It was blended. And I think actually that's often how people make big changes. Often it sort of makes sense. It's a big leap to suddenly quit your job immediately. And I'm not saying that might not be the right thing for someone. I often talk about, you know, you could dive it straight into the deep end, quit your job, start something new, or you can dip your toe in the shallow end. And I think that's the way I went. And then actually circumstances moving out of London meant that I really couldn't do another legal contract. Right. So I really had to make the coaching thing go full time.
So I guess that brings us perfectly or neatly on to the idea of your top five. And I know it's really hard to whittle it down to just five, but pieces of career advice. And would you say that perhaps somewhere in there is this idea of doing things gradually?
Funnily enough, my first bit of advice is hold advice very lightly. Like what works for one person might not work for another. And I spent a lot of, particularly the early years of me building a coaching practice, looking outside of me for tips, for advice, for how to do it, what's the right way. So I would fill my mind with other people's ideas of what I should do, tools and techniques and things that I should be doing. And really, it just meant I felt very confused, and it was taking me further and further away from my truth and what was right for me and what was going to work for me. And so my first piece of advice is sort of hold advice lightly. Take what kind of resonates for you, what does something for you, and throw away what doesn't. And I would say that to what I'm going to be saying now. And really what I'm sharing isn't advice so much. I suppose the pieces that I'm going to be sharing are actually learnings that have really made a difference for me. And that's why I think the half of the beauty of coaching is it's not someone sitting there telling people advice. It's really drawing out what's going to make the difference to them.
Yeah, it's really funny you mentioned that. I was having a chat this morning while walking my dog with a neighbour who is thinking about what she wants to do next. And she's, you know, the very typical path that we're all familiar with, that she was in fashion and then took some time out to raise her children who are now in their teens, and she's looking to get back to work. And I talked to her about coaching, and she said, oh, but I think I need to have all my ducks in a row first before I can go to somebody who will give me all the advice. And I was trying to explain to her that actually a really good coach, they're not going to give you advice like that. They will help you work through that thought process of getting your ducks in a row.
I always think that really my job as a coach is reminding my clients about quite how powerful and knowledgeable they are themselves, and that they don't always need to go outside of themselves to find the answers. Sometimes I do need to go outside of my, if I'm looking to buy a new car, then yes, I do need advice on that. But if I'm looking at making big decisions about my life, then it's really always going to be me looking inside and asking myself and drawing it out from me. And sometimes I can do that myself, and other times I need someone to help me, like a coach. I think it's such a noisy world at the moment. There's so much out there. There's so many people telling us what we should do, shouldn't do. Yeah. And I've definitely had phases where I've just been so bamboozled by advice and what I should do and what I shouldn't do that I can't see the wood from the trees. Yeah, so hold others' advice lightly, really, is what my first piece of advice is. Really.
Brilliant. Your next piece then, please.
My next piece is something, it's a phrase that was coined by my coach, Jamie Smart, but I love it and it really is apt for me, which is there's no such thing as employee DNA. When I left the law, I knew I really loved coaching and I loved connecting with other people and all of that. But I had this sort of real limitation that, oh, I'm not someone who can build a business. That's just not the way I am. You know, I looked at other friends or people doing entrepreneurial things, you know, starting their own business. And I was like, oh, that's lucky. You know, they've got what it takes to do that. But that's just not me. I'm someone that can work for other people. But yeah, I can't do something on my own. You know, I even went as far as looking at other organizations I could coach internally, because I sort of really felt that looked so true to me, that I had this sort of employee DNA, you know, built in my bones. Yeah, that's been a gradual learning of no one has anything different that happens to have started a business on their own. They've just sort of had the bravery. They've learned, they've been prepared to make mistakes, to learn as they go, and that I too have that ability as well.
Someone once said to me back when I was starting out that, you know, I sort of looked to a lot of other obviously successful business people, men and women, and you kind of assume that you have to be a certain alpha type to make it in the business world, especially if you're going for funding or you're doing a startup, going down that route as we are. And yet I felt really passionately about starting a business that was ethical and values led, and I didn't want to be treating people the way I think that a lot of startups have to treat people and so on. So we have a thing around paying people fairly and treating people fairly and doing things for free and so on. And I remember this person said to me, yeah, but you know, exactly to your point, that there almost is no, there is no rule book, there is no DNA for starting your own thing. And if anything, all of those, certainly post-pandemic, all of those rule books have been torn up.
Yeah.
And there is always room to do things the way you want to do them, especially if it's your own thing.
Exactly. And the way that feels aligned to you, that makes you feel good and that makes you feel inspired. That actually moves on to my next point, which is, yeah, we all have this inner compass. Listen to your inner compass. Listen to the nudges. When someone comes to me and they have no idea about what they want to do, I say, well, what makes you come alive? Notice where you get really energized by something, you know, when you're talking to someone about something, where you feel that energy. Notice the opposite, where you're in a room discussing something and you feel like you want to die because it's so sort of, yeah, it doesn't sort of do anything for you. We have this inner compass that a lot of us sort of forget about because we're too busy listening to the chatter in our mind, which tells us that this is the way it should be done. And actually it's about tuning into our, I mean, I talk about the difference between the head and the heart, tuning into our heart. I had a client yesterday that said that she'd been working from home a lot, and then she went into her office and she said she just felt this really visceral reaction against it. She was like, oh, this is not where I need to be. Like, this is just all wrong. She couldn't actually kind of articulate it, but it was almost like her body just sort of told her, what are you doing here? This is not right. So that was an example of her body, her inner compass, really speaking quite loudly to her.
Yes.
What makes you come alive? What gives you energy? What saps you of energy? Just really start to become aware of that. That'll guide you in the direction. That'll be the breadcrumbs. It'll help you follow that, and it'll lead you to where your next step might be.
I think it's really interesting as well as women, and certainly women with children, that it changes. It certainly changes. So what used to make me really come alive 10, 15 years ago is now so totally different. So naturally, my career path has taken quite a windy road.
Yeah.
It's bred within us to feel like, well, that's a failure if I don't have this really, really linear trajectory. And talking to your point earlier about having left the legal profession, something for which you studied for many, many years and then had a long career in that field, and then you moved on. And I'm really interested in your thoughts on that in terms of helping people to move on swiftly, I suppose.
I mean, no career is linear. It's very easy, I think, for people to look back and tell a story which makes it sound like it was a straight line from A to Z. But actually, it's always been twists and turns. And, you know, I know that there's a sort of squiggly career company that talk about that. Everyone's career has twists and turns and ups and downs. And so I kind of really encourage women as well to make peace with that. Like, don't sort of think that must be that something wrong with me. I got it wrong because I made a mistake. Like, we can just sort of embrace that and sort of say, well, isn't this interesting? I'm now taking this turn, or that wasn't the right route. Okay, so now where do I go? You know, follow your curiosity and follow your inspiration. You know, I'm sure you will take turns that might not be the right one, but you'll learn something from it and you'll get clearer on what's not right for you. And then on the other side of the coin, what might be right for you. So the left side of our brain is very linear and it always likes to sort of move in a straight line. But the reality is that if you look at nature it's not like that. Life isn't like that. Neither are we. We're part of nature, you know, as human beings. Trying to strive for everything being perfect and straight and linear, you're always going to be coming up against the reality of life, which just doesn't work that way.
In case you aren't aware, you can connect with Henrietta and inquire about working with her and over 50 other professional coaches on the Careering into Motherhood website. They've all been interviewed by us. We know they are who they say they are, and they are all passionately committed to helping women like you to figure out what or where next. We also have a huge range of free coaching resources on the site, so do check us out if you haven't already. Now back to the interview. And your next piece of advice or guidance. I'm really conscious of using the word advice now.
My next learning is, well, I could put it two ways. One is, don't trust everything that your mind tells you. And the other way to put it is, start to recognize your own bullshit, really. Like, get really familiar with your own chattery mind that comes up with the same old cautionary advice, and, oh, you can't do this, or that sort of thing. Like, I thought the answer always lay up in my intellect. I could work things out intellectually and sort of thinking things through. And I suppose possibly that's a sort of lawyer in me. That was good in that sometimes it came up with good plans and good strategies and things like that. But it also would tell me that what it thought I was capable of, what it thought I wasn't capable of. And I would really listen to that. I'd just be, oh, right, we're onto something here. It says that I shouldn't do that, you know, that I'm not ready. My great recurring theme that my mind will chatter away is, oh, you're not ready yet. You need to do a bit more study. You need to read some more books. You need to do another course. I've learned to recognize that and just say, oh, no, no, you're always saying that. Don't worry, I'm going to push on through. And actually instead listen to my heart, which is inspired to do something, inspired to create something, inspired, as you say, because it wants to make a change and make a difference. So listen to that, really. The chatter that goes through my mind is quite repetitive. It comes up with the same old things again and again. And so I just tune out now much more, almost like I kind of turn down the volume and say, yeah, 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 and let it do its thing. And in my experience, the less I pay attention to it, the less it comes up, actually.
I mean, it's so hard when that voice, as someone who has exactly that voice, it's hard because that voice is very compelling. That voice is a friend that I have known for many, many years. Well, not a very friendly friend, I suppose. How did you reach the point where you were able to tone down that voice in the head?
This is probably part of a longer conversation because it's actually... It was learning to understand how the mind works, how my experience is created, and that my experience is created via my own thinking. And if I'm having negative thoughts swirling around my head, my feelings are going to be quite negative. It was seeing thought for what it is and feelings for what they are. That, you know, when I'm feeling fearful, it's just because I've got fearful thinking going on. And sort of seeing that connection, it was sort of like where I come from in my coaching now is, I know that what's going to do the heavy lifting for my clients is them having their own insights, having their own realizations. Other people talk about them as sort of aha moments. You know, I had an aha moment of realizing that my thinking just wasn't the truth, you know, that what was swirling around here wasn't true. And so if someone's sitting there and saying stuff that's not true, it did look true. So I did need to listen to it. It doesn't look true anymore. It just looks like babble. And so I don't listen to it. One of my mentors actually said, and this really kind of did something for me, he was like, yeah, it just drones on. He's like, if I had a switch that I could flick that turned it into Chinese so that I couldn't understand it, I would flick that. And instead, just listening to what your heart is telling you, which is, you know, yeah, do that thing, take that risk, you'll be okay. You know, and often there is that deeper knowing that you'll be okay no matter what. And our mind also, it tells us that it'll be a disaster if something goes wrong. Oh, your career will fail. If that happens, you'll be the laughingstock. You'll have to give up. You'll have to walk away from this thing. And again, that's not true. Like, I know that's not true. And so I'm able just to sort of see that for what it is and just say, yeah, we know that's not true.
You know, I think we're also hardwired to kind of try and keep everybody safe, whether that's ourselves or our children. You know, I'm just thinking about the holidays, you know, don't walk on this, don't do that, don't eat like this, don't eat like that. Do everything possible to keep those around you safe. It's no wonder that we have this constant internal narrative.
Yeah, and it is. It's trying to keep you safe, the internal narrative, because it doesn't want anything to change. So it's generally, it pipes up when you're doing something that's putting yourself out there a bit, or you're making a change, or you're doing something that it's unfamiliar. So our mind likes what's familiar because it knows it can deal with what's familiar. It doesn't know how to keep you safe when you're into uncharted waters. So that's where it starts sort of coming up to tell you what you should and shouldn't do.
Fascinating. So I think we're on to your final learning.
Okay, my final learning is, quite a lot of the time, and I was like this, people sort of say, oh, I need to conquer my self-doubt, or I need to go into this, you know, not feeling fearful. And I suppose my other learning is that fear is always going to, if you're anything like me, fear is going to always just going to come along for the ride. You know, you can't expect to completely diminish it. And if you're not taking action or doing what you want to do until the fear is gone, that time's never going to come. And so it's just accepting that fear is going to come along for the ride. And Liz Gilbert, have you heard that letter? Which is
No, not the letter.
It's called A Love Letter to Fear. And it says, you know, dear fear, creativity and I are going on a journey and we're driving. You can sit along in the back. We'll listen to you. But at no time are you driving the car. So just understanding that it's going to be there, but it doesn't mean that I shouldn't be doing what I want to do. You know, I don't have to listen to it. It's just there. It's there and I can carry on, even though it is might be there in the background.
I love that. Yeah.
I think I used to think that if I felt fearful, it must have meant that I was on the wrong path. And now I'm just like, oh, no, the only reason I'm feeling a bit apprehensive or nervous is just because I don't know what's coming. It's the unknown. I'm dipping my toe into the unknown. So, of course, I can't predict how it's going to go. But that's OK. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm doing something the wrong way. Yeah, it's just sort of accepting that fear is a sort of companion on this ride.
And I think especially at the moment with everything that the world has been through in the last couple of years. And then I think there is an awful lot of fear at the moment around what's happening in the UK and the political scene and social scene and, what the future holds. So, you know, as mentioned before, there is this natural instinct that's there to keep us safe and help us be good social beings. Yeah, I love that idea of not letting fear actually drive the car.
I understand that. It's also learning to accept what can we do about it and what can't we do about it. There's a lot of things in the world that we'd like to take action on, and we can all make our little contribution that we feel is our particular area that we want to be taking action. And then there are other areas that we just have to maybe accept we are where we are and, you know, not let it sort of drag us down with it.
Well, we have a couple of minutes, and seeing as we have had the summer holidays, I don't know if you had any chance to read any good books or anything, any recommendations for working mums?
So quite a lot of the time I work with people who maybe have the nub of an idea, or they're inspired to create something or they want to start a business. So this book is called Creator by Steve Chandler. We can often define creative as, oh, creative types who want to draw or paint or something like that. But actually, anyone that's building something, or, you know, actually you could say anyone is creating a career. And I love this book for just inspiring you to go out there and build something and create. And it's really pointing you to your potential as a creator as well. I always recommend that to people that have something that they want to build or create. If I sort of feel that lack of inspiration, that's a real go-to as well. Ideas will start sort of churning around whenever I read that.
Fantastic. So Creator by Steve Chandler, and perhaps we'll put the link in the show notes. So for anyone else who's thinking of going out and creating or in the middle of creating something, building something. Thank you so much, Henrietta. It's gone so quickly. Lots of great stuff in there. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
In case you ever thought lawyers were all head and no heart, there was Henrietta busting that myth. I loved all of her learnings, but I think one of the things that stood out for me was just be careful about listening to too much external advice. Ultimately, tune into yourself and trust your intuition. Don't forget to check out our website for more coaching resources, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening.